Thank you for your anointing and presence. I pray that you would blow through here, the Holy Spirit would blow through. Lord, and anoint and touch every one of the people here, and your words would come out of my mouth as I move aside and let you reign. In Jesus' name. Okay, funny start. And if I'm, just give me a signal if I'm like my sweater's moving or from Italian swinging too much. Okay. Yeah, okay. Really funny this morning. I have a lot of pages here, but a lot of it's just I wanted to read the scripture right off of my paper as opposed to like pulling the Bible out. So it's not as long as it may look, you know. But anyway, so I told my kids when we were in the car this morning, they said, they're like, are you doing all of that this morning? So I was like, well, guys, listen. And they're like, how, and trying to be really respectful, how long do you think that's going to take? And I said, listen, it's going to be at least 2 or 3 hours. I said, you have to absolutely be obedient during that time. And I moved, they're like, okay. I'm like, just kidding. 4 hours. And so they're like, Mom. And then I said, and then Daniel was like, and then Pastor Roy speaking after too? I was like, yes, no, you will be respectful. I'm just kidding. So he's not speaking after, but I totally was loving messing with them entirely. It was awesome. Okay, now the message is for anyone in the body of Christ. However, before I start with the general message, the Lord gave me a specific word for Restoration Christian Fellowship. The word was, now this is not a slight. Dave and I are old too, apparently, according to people that are 10 years younger. So like your generation, I got told a couple of times, like, so I was like, oh, Dave, we're in a different generation now. We are the old people in their lives. It was so funny. But in general, RCF is an older congregation. We don't have like a million little people running around, right? But I felt like the Lord was very clear with me and said, RCF is not too old. That God is continually restoring and refreshing our bodies and spirit. This is not over. There is work to be done. Okay, so this is the word for RCF. Now, I want to summarize it in a few points in case the Holy Spirit takes me off in like a few directions, so you kind of have a framework for where I am going with this. And of course, if you're holy, you are writing notes for sure. But if you're unholy, God loves you anyway. Okay. Hint, hint, get your papers and pens out. Anyway, so one, and actually it's really funny, Dave, and a bunch of other people, because this is a word of, I believe, encouragement and excitement, because it's going to say a little bit about what God is moving in already, and it's also a word of caution. And caution being just basically position yourself in a way to receive what God is doing. So you don't have to be scared, but we do want to position ourselves so that we can move in the place that God wants us to be in full power. Because does anyone know what the results of us being able to move in power are, aside from some of the obvious? Just like a few answers. Anybody? Okay, miracles. Signs and wonders, definitely. Healings, okay. God wants to give us the nations. The nations. We're talking about the world, the nations, where we live, where everyone else lives. And this is important, okay? Because I think that we're very prone to get myopic in our own little worlds. Even in America, too, we can be myopic. And because we live well, we live very well. We have a lot of wonderful freedoms that we're blessed to have. So I think we can become a little self-focused and a little quiet. And even as we've advanced as a church and in the body of Christ Church, I think we can get complacent because we've learned so much. Now we're like, okay, we're kind of there, but we're not really there. There's a lot more there is to get to. So it is necessary. I think that what Pastor Roy was speaking about just came over so many times. We are at a threshold. And someone also, where's the time or something? I didn't time this. Sorry, Pastor Roy. So just make sure, when I'm at 30 minutes, just give me a wave, Dave. Okay. Okay. So we are at a threshold, as Pastor Ray said. I believe it is crucial that we cross this threshold. I don't really even believe it's an option for the body of Christ right now if we are going to move in power. If that flow is going to come, if the revival in our hearts and the nations are going to come, we have to cross the threshold. There are just too many little open doors that can be there and that the enemy could seep into, these little places. There's little sins that we don't consider sins that the enemy wants to get in, which I'm going to speak a little bit about in detail as we go. So, and one other thing, we cannot go back. we actually cannot go back. The Lord talks about that in the Bible. We cannot go back. There's a danger in regressing. We have to move forward. So I'm sorry if you already chose to come this far in the Lord, you're in trouble one way or another, you have to go forward. Or be in peril as you go backwards, which you don't want. We don't want. Okay. So here are there's kind of a few main points, and then I'll actually start. So the first part of it is, and it's called our refinement. We are in a period of refinement. Okay? I felt that word to be very important, refinement. This is crucial. It's a point where we must allow the Lord to put his finger on things that we have not let him put our finger on for a very long time, some of which I will discuss. And we've allowed the Lord to put his finger on a lot of things. So I'm proud of that, you know, not proud of that in the church at large and definitely RCF. But there's more smaller things that we believe are smaller sins that we need to let him put his finger on. If we choose to submit our will, which is pretty much what we have to do. Here, Lord, I receive. Here you go. An overwhelming grace that expands our ability to grow will be there. So it's really very easy, but very important if we turn away from it. The Holy Spirit is our helper. This is so exciting. I'm going to speak a little more about the Holy Spirit. He is moving, and we are in that flow because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but we can place ourselves a little on the outside of the flow, kind of come out of the stream. So we need to be in that stream. And when we are in that Holy Spirit movement, we are moving as one in the Spirit. So it doesn't matter where we are in the world. It doesn't matter where we are in RCF. It doesn't matter state-wise where we are. If you are moving with the Spirit, we are moving as one with the mind of Christ. So the result of us moving in this way will be that he gives us the nations. And I am so passionate about that since I was little. I want the nations. Lord, I want the nations. We want the nations. We do not want people suffering so miserably because they don't have access to understanding that God is right there. His power, the magical even, the miracles, it's all there. And the sorrow is, it's not that come be saved, you're not going to have problems, as Pastor Ray said. It's so not that, obviously. We are living proof of that. Us and all of our beautiful issues, the beautiful messes that we are. But it cannot sit right with me that there are people that don't fully understand the love of Christ. And our lack of movement could prevent us from ministering out fully and having the full power of the Lord move through us. All right? So it's not like, you know, shame, shame, you're not listening. It's more, it's a real thing, and it needs to happen. I want the nations. So this is that narrow path, which is what I was more nervous about. I want whoever's listening to the tape, whoever's listening to in here, I want us to take this narrow path together. I believe we've chosen the narrow path. If you're committed to following Christ, you are on the narrow path. This is an even more narrow path that I'm talking about. And again, it doesn't have to be difficult. It can be extremely easy, so to speak, as we simply submit our will. That overwhelming grace, there's an increased grace to deal with these things at this point. So it's actually not that difficult unless we say no. If we say no, it is going to be difficult because we're going to position ourselves against the flow of the Spirit unnecessarily, and it's just going to be more difficult. It's like standing under Niagara Falls, not a river, under Niagara Falls and trying to stop Niagara Falls from falling on you. It's just not, it's silly. Don't do it. Okay, so that's really where I'm going with this message. So for all of this, we have to stay awake as we've, you know, this is really just, it was the same thing the Lord, you know, did. Stay awake and position ourselves. I'm going to say this so many times. Pastor Roy said it. Pastor Marie said it. Everyone, we've said it. Positioning ourselves in a place to receive what God has for you must happen if we want to be fully effective and minister and flow in the power of Christ. So I believe the Lord has actually released an anointing that as I speak it, he showed me what he was doing, that he's going to release an anointing. And then I would also like to pray over each one of you because he showed me afterwards, just like in a line or whatever, he showed me a couple of things that I feel like I just need to just pray over each one of you. Sorry. Okay, so I am excited. We need to open our physical and spiritual ears, which, by the way, also has nothing to do with us. Lord, open our physical and spiritual ears, right? I can't even get that. Okay. How this message started. Now, ordinarily, I don't preach because it's like, oh, yes, let me add another thing in my list to do every single night that I have to make sure I hear from the Lord and get in somewhat of an order. And I'm like, I minister to many people on a daily basis, but it flows more. When you have to put together something, it's not something I ordinarily, oh, yes, yes, let me get myself. But when the Lord spoke this to me, it like poured out of the paper, really the message in like a matter of 10 minutes, and it got refined over a few weeks. But I had that burden on my chest that I have to release it. So it was really not a choice. I'm like, okay, I'm giving the message, and yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'm not carrying that. So I'll be happy to today. Okay, so Dave and I were away on sort of a vacation with the kids, just we were away. And something happened, and I was very upset about it. I was distressed. It wasn't like something was done to me, but I was very distressed about the situation that had happened. I said to Dave, I generally don't do this, but because you know there's four kids and it's busy, but I was like, I have to go downstairs and spend some time with the Lord. I have to, because I knew that if I didn't, I was going to be all over the place that day. Physically, my mind was going to run. Everything was going to happen. And thank you, Lord, that I've been submitting to the process of stepping back and listening and not reacting in my life over the past few years. And having four children that you homeschool will do that to you. If you react all the time, you may permanently psychologically damage them. So you can't do that. You need to be very, you need to hear. And the Lord's been giving me many opportunities to hear in the midst of very crazy situations inside my home and outside of my home. When things are happening, one thing happened with one of my offspring, and I was looking at this particular child, and in the midst of this craziness happening, I literally was staring at them and thinking, I'm like, Lord, and I do this many times, I'm like, Lord, you have to, I really have no actual method to deal with this. I've done everything I know in my power to deal with this particular one, and I don't know what to do. And I'm just sitting there staring. The child must have thought I was out of my mind, but I was thinking. And there were going to be consequences either way, but I knew something else had to happen. So I was just being very quiet. And the Lord told me, I want you to prophesy over this child. I want you to hug this child, and I'm going to speak something to you, and you're going to speak it to the child and tell the child that this is the Lord speaking it to them. This is me speaking it to that child. So I was like, thank you. So I go ahead and take the child, embrace, and I close my eyes and I receive what I feel like the Lord is speaking. It was so beautiful. I felt like I was intruding on a conversation that was not for me. It was so beautiful. And when it was done, the child was calm and was able to swiftly, which usually it is not swiftly, receive the discipline that was necessary for that particular situation. So in that way, if I had just done all the what I'm supposed to do, this is in the human realm, these are what I've decided a parent should do, this is what should happen, all these rules for myself, which are not bad to have, I need to discipline and instruct my children, but had I not listened, I would have missed a very, very important opportunity to possibly transform that child's life in a way that they weren't just thinking, oh, they just get angry at me all the time, or oh, they just do this or do that or blah, blah, blah. So I was able to minister forth something that I desperately desired to minister forth, but I did not know how to do. So it was very important. So we need to open our eyes. So in this time away on vacation, I was just distressed. I went downstairs and I didn't even know what, I was so fuzzy. It was so distressing that I just didn't even know what to read. I couldn't think. So I put my hands open and I said, Lord, you have to come to me. I don't know what to do. As I opened my hands to receive his word, I saw his hand come down with anointing oil and anoint my forehead, my lips, and my heart with anointing oil. Right away, as soon as I asked, doesn't always happen that way. He'll respond in some way, but it may not be that particular, but I was blessed to receive it that way. He moved immediately. And then I felt Jesus' hand outstretched inside my heart and praying over me. And I was so touched. by that. Then I started to see fire burning, the holy fire. And garbage was going. There was all kinds of garbage and brush on fire, and it was being burned up. And I was like, go, Lord. I said, burn it up. Get rid of it. That's what God is doing now. He's going to go back in surgically, and he's going to start to surgically burn some of these leftover smaller, and I quotation for those listening, smaller sins that are not really smaller sins, because we need to be moving forward. I mean, if you're a surgeon and you could just do the first cut, wonderful, but you have to get in there and fix the stuff on the inside. So we can't stay where we are. If we're not moving, we're going against the flow. After this, I saw an egg start to crack. The shell started to crack open. This was very significant for me, because in the past few weeks, I had been saying to the Lord, all I heard was chaos. I'm like, Lord, I cannot see outside my own world. I feel so in my own fog, in this like bubble. I just couldn't see. I couldn't see outside of it. I felt confused. I wasn't sure of my own thoughts or how to proceed with different things that I was struggling with. I felt very in my own world, and I absolutely could not get out of it. No matter how much sleep I had, no matter how much calmness I had, no matter how much of the word, which did bring some clarity, I could not see outside of it. And it was, you know, I was like, Lord, I can't do it. You have to come and help me to see outside this whatever is going on. And maybe when I was like 22, I would have figured that out in like a couple of days. But with four at 30, whatever I am, I don't even know how old I am, maybe 34 or 5 or something. 82, what am I, 36, mom? I'll be 30, so I'm 35 right now. Okay, so at 35 with four kids, this took me weeks to find out. It was not 2 days. I'm like, duh. Okay, so I started to see, the Lord showed me how inwardly turned I was, how myopic, how self-involved in all those different ways. So I was like, okay, I need to sacrifice more, but how do I do it? Now, I know what to do. What have we been taught in RCF to do if we don't know what to do? Help. Say it again, Gail.
Help.
Help. I don't want to ask for help. I was like, Lord, I'm going to be straight out honest with you. I was talking to him just like this. I'm like, if I ask you for help, you're going to do it. And I don't know if I want you to do it. I said, so I was like, for a minute there, I was first of all disgusted at that thought. I'm like, that I'm disgusted with the thought that I don't want to let go of what is comfortable for me. Not even because I don't want to progress, but because I'm afraid that with dealing with the children and dealing with working and homeschooling and feeding them, and now I'm eating healthier than I was, so feeding myself in a better way and exercising and trying to survive mentally, I was afraid to add something in that would be difficult again. And I knew that asking the Lord to do that would in some way be more work for me. And at that moment, I wasn't thinking of his extraordinary grace. He hadn't showed me that just at that moment. So I was like, I don't really want to ask this, Lord. I really would prefer to not ask you this. But I knew he told me to ask him this. So we're not even like that smart. In one part of the Bible, it's actually, we're considered, you know how the Lord uses the things that are base and simple? If you really break that down, in that, it's called moron. So basically, as beautiful as we are and intelligent in many ways, we're basically spiritually, we're morons. So I'm like, Lord, it's not even us. I don't know what we think we are. We are so not in control at all. We are so not in control. It is an utter lie. Just let go. Go with it. We are not in control.
That's right.
So finally, I said, okay, Lord, you put this awareness in front of me. Now, Anna's leaving the room? Okay. I'm going to leave the building while I'm preaching. Somebody make sure they have their eyes on her. Okay. So at this point, I said, okay, Lord, thank you for the awareness. And by the way, I had only received the awareness because I went downstairs, just like Victoria was saying, to receive his presence. I had to quiet myself so he could put the awareness in front of me of what was happening. And then my will, I had to say, I will submit my will and soul and surrender it back.
Amen.
I had to choose that. Did I have to? No. Do I want to move forward in Christ? Yes. Here I go. So, I was awake. And thank you, God, that I was awake. So, I took a deep breath in that place of surrender because I was a little anxious. And I said, Lord, I am your child. You are my Abba, Father. I do not need to be ashamed, because at that moment I felt a lot of shame at that very moment for that portion. I am humble before you, my God. I ask you to clean out the garbage and separate the chaff from the wheat. Wake me up inside. So, thank you, Lord, for that moment, and that's where this was birthed. So, as we move forward here with the refining process that God is currently doing, I want to keep you in, I already told you this, the nations is what we want. I'm just going to keep going. I'll come back to this other place. Because you see, as the Lord's moving, he's already covering this. Jeremiah 33, 1 through 3. I'm going to read to you. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it, and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. So we do not know what we do not know. Does this make sense? We don't know what to search. It's not possible. It's unsearchable. The only way to do that is say, Lord, what unsearchable thing would you like to reveal to me today? Yeah. We don't need to, in my younger years, you know, probably like 19 through like 2 years ago and forever, but in my, you know, younger years, I tried so desperately hard to do it myself because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I tried in my own strength to, what did I do wrong? Okay, where am I going wrong? Where am I? It's not bad to search with Christ if he's revealing things to you. But that's not, my desire was to do that. At the time, I wasn't aware of how to proceed with that. So I was trying everything, and I was really bashing myself and trying, and I really was going absolutely nowhere. Not really. Not on the whole, not with any real progress. I wasn't going anywhere. I was really running around in circles, and I worked myself up into such a tizzy. I got into such bad patterns that then the Lord really had to deliver me from the patterns, because now I just made a total mess for myself, which is fine, because that's what apparently I needed to do to get to the place of surrender to Christ so he can move. So I thank him for the chaos and the mistakes and the sorrow and all of it that came with that, because I was probably very prideful because I was very good at many things. And I was probably, not probably, I am pretty stubborn and was pretty stubborn as a person. That's wonderful in some job areas, not as wonderful when you're in this, trying to move in the spirit. So the Lord had to humble me in a beautiful way. So I'm not saying he wants you to fail, but he'll use whatever mistakes you make to build up the problems that you've now created. He'll say, okay, you want to surrender now? I'll use it. And he'll turn it back around. So I can't even say, oh, I would have done this, because I wasn't back then. I am where I am now. I was not where I was then. So I can only move from this place. So most of us know what separating the chaff, you know, from the grain is. We've talked about it numerous times, just a little refresher. The grain's in the middle, the chaff is the dry part on the outside. You don't want that chaff part. Amen. It's undigestible for humans, and so it needs to be separated. And so you just have the grain on the inside. Traditionally, this is done by, just, you know, gently blowing? Not initially. Initially, the threshing is beating, grinding. It's a more of a violent type process. Okay, it's got to be moved. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but we've been through some grinding and banging and slamming. It's been a little violent sometimes. So we've been going through the threshing. And just to remind you, before I talk about this a little more, does anyone know what in the spiritual realm separating the chaff from the grain is? Does anyone really kind of? The pastors can't answer. That's cheating. It's like the one throwing the party with all the answers. No, I'm kidding. We all know about the Lord. But in general, does anyone know what separating the chaff from the grain really is, represents in the spirit? Okay. Purification. What did you say, Gail? Yes, but in the spirit. Yes. Okay. It's separating the valuable from the worthless. Valuable from the worthless. We want the valuable without the worthlessness. Matthew 3, 1 through 12. I want you to, as we read it, don't zone out, because I know when you speak a while, I zone out even sometimes. Try to stay engaged. I want you to hear this whole part. So I'm going to read Matthew 3, 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey." Yum. "People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River." Who just spoke about that this morning? Did you speak of John the Baptist, Dave? "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father.'" So basically they were saying, this is our inheritance, this is our lineage, we just have to, we are who we are because of our lineage, without the inner working themselves. So this is what he's speaking. "I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already cut at the root of the trees," which we sung about, "and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Amen. We need to produce good fruit. Yes. "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and fire baptism, Lord. "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." It cannot be put out. Unquenchable, meaning you cannot put the fire out. He is going to unquenchably burn the chaff if we submit to this process of separating the valuable from the worthless. I want to read you Psalm 1, which is not so long as it sounds. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." Before we go forward, I want you to just think. You don't have to answer. But how many of you are spending time in the Word day and night? Even a little bit. A little bit to fill your mind in the Word day and night. I understand it's busy. I don't know. I'm not saying it's just, I get it too. It's something I'm always encouraging myself to remember to do. But I just want you to think about it as you go forward in your week. How many of you are spending the day and the night? I'm not talking about 6 hours in the morning, 6 hours in the night with an hour to live in the middle of the day. I'm talking about anything, something where you open up with the Lord, and you close with the Lord and the word that he has for you, okay? And we are blessed, by the way, and we do. That's what it says, we're blessed. And this is not condemnation. I'm encouraging you to be blessed and move. Amen. "That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." And for me, I don't really care about, there's so many applications of this. I want to put my hands on the sick and they will recover. I want to place my hand on someone who is in such deep sorrow and the Lord pulls them out of the pit like that. That is how I want to prosper. I want my shadow, the shadow that the now, because I'm so filled with the Spirit and so full of Christ and so putting away, letting the Lord put away that worthless nonsense and the little sins and the big sins, that the shadow, like Peter did, people would be healed by walking in the shadow. They just wanted to sit in the shadow. That's amazingly awesome, and we can move in that. Amen. "Not so are the wicked." We are the righteous. "Not so are the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." So if we are going to step back, now we are the righteous. We do not want to step back, number one. Number two, we don't want the wicked to really die. We want the wicked, the evil of the enemy to die, but we want the wicked to come be the righteous. We are the righteousness of Christ. We want to bring them here so they do not perish. In order to be moving in that area, we have to let the threshing happen in our lives. It must be separated. So there's that threshing, milling and pounding, that's going on in our lives. Today, what I want to speak about, though, and why I say what I want to speak about, there is going to be an end to it. It's not going to go on forever. But as I continue to speak, is the winnowing process. Does everyone know that the threshing process is somewhat different than the winnowing process? Okay. I actually really didn't, I knew what the word was, but I didn't pick it up until the Lord was showing me this. So the threshing is the pounding, beating, you know, separating the most out of it. The winnowing is the remaining chaff. That's just a little left over that is getting winnowed, and the wind will gently blow away a lot of that final stuff. It's not as violent, per se, but it is a somber and serious thing. So I just feel like even though the Lord can do it with his extraordinary grace right now, which I'm going to speak about here, we have to be serious about the fact that when we notice, if the Lord brings up even a little thing, whatever it may be, we need to say, out you go. Holy Spirit, remove it. You have to. It's a serious thing right now if we want to move in that power. So God is separating the evil from the righteous. So the valuable from the worthless, evil from the righteous. It's time to pick a side. No straddling on this line anymore. You need to pick a side all the way. Pick a side. I think that because especially RCF and anyone who's hearing this that also experiences this, we know the love of Christ is so big for us. So it's a beautiful thing to know the love of Christ is so big for us. But we forget that he abhors sin. Sin, he hates. He doesn't hate the person, he hates the sin. He violently hates the sin. And the Holy Spirit, even if you kind of read some of the parts, the Holy Spirit kind of has rage toward the sin. Wants that thing off and away from us, and we'll go after it. As Pastor Marie started to speak about cudgel, you know, like banging it over and over and over, the Holy Spirit is inside of us and wants to get, if we allow, wants to get rid of that kind of nonsense. I mean, if you remember with the tables turned over, Jesus, and he went into the temple and he overturned all the tables of the Pharisees because they were not bringing the truth of Christ what it was meant for. And he didn't do it in rage and fury, he did it in holy, righteous anger. As I think Pastor Ray had spoken about once. It wasn't like he saw them and can't grab whatever nearest stick there was and started hitting people. He actually made what was necessary to turn it all over because it was that important that hypocrisy not be there, that sin of hypocrisy and complacency absolutely not be a part of what God was doing at that point. So Lord, we do, I submit, and anyone here who wants to submit, or anyone listening, we submit to this process, Lord, and we receive your mercy and your grace. We need to be more submissive to God about the little, small, sinful things, which I'll talk about what those things might be. There's a further refining going on. As I said in the beginning, if you keep those little sins, which are not little sins, but if you keep the little sins open, that is an open door. He will have a foothold to come in your life and not allow you to move in full power and freedom. We cannot afford to let that happen right now. It will disqualify us from the full power that is necessary for the nations. They need it now. Our lives are Christ. Our lives are not our own. We are not on this own to be born, have children, own a house, own the car, drive away, go to work. There is beauty in the mundane, in the ordinary. That is beautiful. However, God has given us superhuman power. He says we will do things greater than he did. That's what he promises. Why would we stay anywhere else? Why would we be in any other place? It is time to declare war on the unholy parts that we have allowed. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to say to you, and the Lord said, I will pour out my anointing on you. I will expand your ability to grow. I will make room for what I impart. I will take care of it. We thank you, Lord, that you will take care of it and you will make room for what you will impart. And that was extremely releasing to me. when I the Lord spoke that to me, and when I felt he told me to speak it over when I was speaking as well, because I was very nervous about the refining process. I'm like, Lord, I don't know. I think I might actually literally not be able to move off the couch. If I have anything more that you put in my way, I will not be able to move physically. I don't even know where it's going to come from. And that's when he said to me, I'm going to widen that place. There's going to be plenty of room for what I do. I'm going to bring it, make the room. It's going to be there. And for what he wants to impart. Now, I wouldn't necessarily suggest you go trudging up sins you think in your life, go looking for them. Please don't do that. That's just a mess. It's focusing on the wrong thing anyway. Our focus needs to be on Christ. And as the Lord brings up those things, your job is to be awake and aware. And how are you awake and aware? Spending time in the presence of the Lord and saying, Lord, keep my awareness and my awakeness and my eyes to see what you're showing me. And when something happens, I believe the Lord's not going to let you walk in it if you don't want to. So for example, I am on I don't want to call it a diet because it's not a diet. I'm on a whole eating plan right now. Mainly because I had eaten like garbage for the last year or two because I was just involved in kids and homeschool and, oh, there's a cupcake. Oh, there's a brownie. Oh, so I'm not even, I gained like 26 pounds over the last 10 months. I don't really care about the weight thing per se, but I cared the fact that I was eating so unhealthy and putting so much garbage into my body and I felt so out of control. And of course it was showing up in my body. And mainly, I didn't want to spend more money on clothes in the summer, so I'm like, this has got to stop. It's like, I don't have money to spend more money on clothes. I have to wear the same ones I wore last summer. That's it. I'm going on a clean eating lifestyle again and stop allowing myself to go into all that nonsense. So the Lord put his finger on it. But I literally could not pass up the snacks every time I passed them. And I was like, Dave, stop bringing them into the house. Every time you go shopping, there's some delicious treat on the counter. I said, if you're going to bring stuff in, put them in the counters away from me, please. I mean, I know I have to say no anyway, but it's so hard. Oh, brownies. Oh, he bought Captain Crunch for snack for dinner. Oh my gosh, there's chocolate of Hershey Kiss over there. Oh my gosh. And I was like, and it was just so distracting. I'm like, and then he got like, I was like, Dave, and he bits the crappiest of the crappiest delicious stuff. So I'm like, hon, please, please stop bringing this stuff in, or at least hide it from me. And I could not do it. I literally could not do it. And my weight kept going up. And my feeling of disgust at the way I was eating kept going up. And it's not going to stop. Chaos was not going to stop. It's only going to get probably more chaotic with my kids and life. So I couldn't do it. And all of a sudden, I was like, Lord, I cannot do it. I physically can't. And I am strong-willed. I really felt like I couldn't do it. Of course, I could, but I felt like I couldn't. There was no, I could barely move. Three kids need something. Grab whatever's there, go deal with the three kids. I felt like I didn't have time to cook myself healthy meals, and I wanted to eat they were healthy. I was not eating it, but I wanted to make sure they were. So quite literally, on a Saturday, I was like, Lord, I have to do something. Ironically, it was after I tried to buy a dress for a shower or something, and I was like, oh no. I said, I'm not going to finish any of my clothes this summer. So I was like, Lord, you have to do something right now. I don't want to spend all this money in the summer for clothes. So the Lord made it very easy. There was a grace within half an hour of that. I jumped on an exercise plan at home. I jumped on, which I already know how to eat, whole foods. That's the way my family eats, but I was not eating the whole foods. And it's been a breeze, and for most of my family who can attest, it's a miracle she's exercising every day. If I'm running, something is running after me. I don't run, okay? If I'm running, you better follow me because something is chasing me. I do not run or exercise. So when I started doing this, they're like, you are? You really? Like every day? My mother goes, thank you, Mom, to my brother. It's a miracle, David, the other night. I'm like, okay, so see, that's like a little. So what is that sin? That's a sin of gluttony. It's a sin of addiction. Because sugar is addicting anyway, so just, which I'm afraid to touch anything, which I have and I've been able to moderate, but it's addicting. It's a sin of lust. It's a lust. Also, I realized and I've done this one on like the day, we've done fasts and whatnot, but I realized one day during the week, kids had driven me nuts and I was like fit to be tied and Dave came home and I was like, what I wanted to do was go right out to Crazy Crepe and get a chocolate Nutella and strawberry crepe. And I realized, that's what I'm doing when I get upset all the time. I'm going right to eating because it temporarily makes me feel better and I could just come down. And it's easy, right, self-medicating in all different ways, okay? But I'm not doing that anymore. God willing, I don't go to anything else. I'm like, Lord, clear it of all of it. And it's a process. So, it's 30 minutes? Okay, don't worry. Okay, good. Give me 15 minutes in the morning. Okay. Okay, so there's a few specific ones that I'm going to say those words right now. Anna, stop right now. She's chasing, he's running in circles around. She's ahead of him, and he can't seem to get so naughty. Okay. And she's giggling. Okay, so as I say some of these, it's going to touch on a little angry flesh monster in you. Okay? That's the truth. As I say some of these words, the thing that wants to have a stronghold in your life is going to be like, that's kind of what it's going to try to do. But the Lord says it must go. He says it must go, and he will do it. But you have to look at it. If you choose not to look at it, you continue to go on. You continue to move. You will not move in the same awesome power with Christ. You will not move in the same excitement. Lord wants to do the Lord wants to do magical things. That's the word I kept getting, magical things. The Lord wants to do magical, exciting, creative, outside the human limitation box things. Okay. So, as I told you, stubbornness is one. He definitely showed me that about myself, that there was a root somewhere there of stubbornness. The will. I will not do that because I don't want to. And by the way, some of it you might not even realize you're doing. It's passive aggressive. Like you realize someone tells you to do something. I'm not doing that. And you may not even realize you said that, but that's what your body just did. It rejected it. Sugar. Sugar's a definite. These are distractions from the enemy. He just has to hold us in a couple of these, and we'll just be so wrapped up that we can't get out unless we look at it and let the Lord touch it. Language, cursing, speaking death, things like that. Speaking against. Remember, whose was it mouth? Because at this very moment, I cannot think who. He silenced his mouth because he rejected that she was going to have a baby. It was right, Zacharias. The Lord closed his, that's what I was looking for. The Lord closed his mouth for the pregnancy because he would not agree with the word that the Lord was going to do. So the Lord actually made him not be able to speak for months because the Lord did not want him to interfere with the plan that God had for that baby to be here. John. This is a very big one, these two. Anger. I felt like anger was a very, very big one. Marital dissension, for those of you who are married. If you are married and you are not moving in a place of wholeness in your marriage, including any married, one married who's listening, any married who's sitting here, God wants to bring into order marriage. He wants to bring into order marriage. That is, we are the bride of Christ, and he wants our marriage to imitate the marriage of Christ. Now, there are things that seem way gone. Hopelessness, which I'm going to, in just like a minute, they'll be here. It is not, you have to let the Lord touch it. And I know that usually if it's one person or maybe it's not the other person, you can pray. You can pray for your spouse either way. You have to stay with it, but you need to pray for your spouse. And if the Lord is putting his finger on something, you need to do what he speaks. I don't know what that is. That's what the Lord will speak to you. You pray, he will give you the word on what one step is. Then here's the next step. And you know what? Don't make up what it's going to look like. Do not. Just throw it out the window, because I've noticed a couple times, even with Dave and I, when there are things that make me so furious that internally in my fleshly side, I could be like, you know what? I don't have to talk to him because this is what he did to me. The Lord moves in this overwhelming love that I want to love on him. And I'm like, I don't know where that came from. I certainly didn't want it at that moment, but I didn't stop it either. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to go give him a hug, even though I don't want to give him a hug at all. But you know what? The will's not even there to not give him a hug because his grace is coming and I want to go hug him. But I can stop it and say, no, I don't have to do that. But I don't stop it lately. Sometimes I stop it, of course. But I'm not stopping it as much lately. And I'm realizing God's in the driver's seat. I can kind of just sit there and listen. And as he moves me, he's going to work it out. So marital dissension is important. Lust of a variety of things. I felt a little bit more on sexual lusts, if you're dealing with sexual lusts. Time wasting, eating. Throw off the old, stamp on it, Burn it. Declare war on it. Do not lose hope. Psalm 4:2 says, how long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Don't seek false gods. Don't turn his glory to shame. People are watching. People are watching. You see what's politically going on. There's so much lack of love and dissension. I'm not even talking about either side, whatever way. But Christianity has done damage over the years. We've not been as good as we should have been to the people. And I believe that's some of the uprising that is happening now, because there was not the love of Christ. People were making rules, and they stuck by these rules, and they totally missed the heart of Christ, and this is what has happened because of it. They need people who are real Christian, Christ-loving people to be present, not to judge them or jump on them, but to be there. To be there if they want to come and ask a question, to love on them, to sense the true presence of God that transforms you just by being in it. And I don't really need to go into this because I kind of covered it, but there are a lot of roots, and we don't need to focus on the roots that cause us to do these things. There are many roots that have caused us to not come to the place that we realize it. Could be traumatic things that happened when we were a child, could be traumatic things that happened in the middle of our life, could be deaths, could be things spoken over us, could be bullying. I have no idea. Could be anything. Okay? And you know what? Don't go looking for that. Because our brain, God made our beautiful brain available to shut out the trauma and isolate it so we can continue to live. But now that we understand and know the love of Christ, we can allow him to bring up the trauma when he sees fit and wash it away. So don't go digging up, which you don't have to. But put your hands out and say, what do you want, Lord? When he brings it up, get rid of it. That's it. Because those roots, by the way, are causing us a baseline anxiety at all times. We're feeling anxious at all times, and we don't even really know it. As we get free, you'll see. And that shame that you feel when the Lord brings up those roots, because when the Lord was bringing up some of my roots of either stubbornness or this or selfishness that brought me to some of the places I am in my life, I felt tremendous shame, sorrow, such sorrow, shame and sorrow beyond overwhelming, that I felt like I couldn't even breathe. And I was happy, you know, just to have a family that I knew I had something, I had to keep going, because I just felt like very depressed. And the Lord showed me after that, that it was a total distracting cloud. He took me out of it, and then he showed me what it was. And it was a literal cloud this big, right here, in front of my face. It was not out here, but it was right here. And it was the enemy trying to distract me with all of this stuff, say, look what you did. It was just this little cloud. It wasn't huge, but it was taking my entire consumption of my time and energy and defining me. Out. The Lord said, I'll take it right out. He'll clear that fog and send the enemy back to the pit of hell where he belongs. Now, this process, Romans 8:18-27. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that we will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. We are being redeemed, everyone. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's powerful and awesome, helps us in our weakness. Now, this is my most exciting part. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Is that incredible? Wordless groans. He's interceding for us. The Lord has his hands in his heart, and the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. It's awesome. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Holy Spirit knows what you have to do. Just submit. Position yourself. He's got it. Just say yes. If my eyes had not come off of that cloud and the Lord had not showed me that, and I had not lifted my eyes up, I'd be pulled right back into the situation. So God wants you to lift your eyes up and out and upward, or you will be stuck right here. You won't go anywhere. Everything will appear horrible. Everything will appear hopeless. Everything will appear terrible. You're not going anywhere. This is where he wants you with his goggles, these little cloud goggles. Up. It's not there. It's above the cloud. It's around the cloud. Get rid of the fog. It's little mosquitoes. It's nothing. We will soar like eagle's wings. And you can. I'm not going to read it to you now because I'm way over time probably. Psalm 121. Basically, it's where does my help come from? And our help comes from God. That whole chapter was beautiful. Psalm 91, I'll let you read it for yourselves as well. Basically, we're under the shelter of his wings. Amen. We don't have to be scared. Amen. Now this is, I'll stay around and if anyone wants to actually write this down, because I read this book. It's this. I've been reading this book that Dave's been doing. Now listen to this. The Spirit's desire is so passionate toward freeing us of our weakness that he refuses to let go. He wraps himself around our cause. So let's say something has its arms around me. Addiction or lust or eating. Whatever it may be in your life that has got its arms around you in a bondage. He wraps around himself around our cause. And says, if this weakness doesn't let you go, I'm going to rip it away with my bare hands. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. So what do you have a problem with? What did the Lord bring up? The Holy Spirit's going to yank this thing, break its arms, tear it apart off of you. It cannot stay if you don't want it to. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Don't go back. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Put yourself in a battle stance. And I will read this really quick because it's just good. Hebrews 6:9 through 12. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes. Things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Do not be complacent. You cannot be complacent. We cannot be complacent. Don't get comfortable. RCFers and anyone listening, don't be comfortable. He's got more for us to do. And just, I won't read it, but in 1 Samuel 4:5-8, the Ark of the Covenant came into the Lord's camp and the Philistines heard all the shouting from the Lord's camp. And they're like, what's the shouting for? And then they realize that the Ark of the Lord had come and they were like, we're doomed. They were doomed because they knew the power of the Holy Spirit. This is another one I'm just like excited about. We must be moved on by the Holy Spirit in a way that releases shouts of deliverance to shake up the enemy's camp. If we are moved in the Spirit, shouts of deliverance are coming out and it's shattering. The bonds are breaking. Oh, it's so good. I'm almost done. I'm just going to read this to you and then I just want to speak one thing. Where am I on time? Okay. My husband has Anna upside down in the back, and then he's picking her back and forth. She's giggling as he's driving her. She's driving him nuts. Okay. Infirmity is a weakness. Okay, so when we talk about infirmity, it's a weakness. And I'm talking about mental infirmity, physical infirmity, generational curses infirmity. Oh, my mother had schizophrenia. I'm going to have schizophrenia. Oh, my mother had depression. I am. Oh, my mother had, my father had, my grandfather had diabetes. I'm going to have diabetes. Everything, I'm not denying physical illnesses. They are present. They are real. They are here. We can get help for them in all the ways that are available to us. Thank you, Lord. But to talk about this, infirmity is a weakness. But there are deeper definitions that the enemy wants to take advantage of so we can be kept placated, dormant, and docile. He wants you, it's okay. You have a mental illness. You can't do that. Well, you have diabetes. You can't do that. You're overweight. How can you really exercise? the food tastes delicious. It's helping you feel better. There you go. Infirmity is a limitation placed on us by the enemy of our faith. The concept conveys the demonic spitting on us, decreeing and prognosticating a constraint that keeps us bowed down. The enemy is speaking over you, shame, shame. Put your head down, shame. Don't go anywhere, you're in shame. Shame on you. You're stuck here, you're sick. This is generational, it's too bad, you're gonna have to live like this until you die. Listen to that, garbage. And that's internal, that's happening. It's an internal dialogue that he's trying to do to get your head down. The most literal definition of infirmity, and this scared me, is a repeated whipping, spiritually and emotionally. The enemy spits out a veiling, a cloak of hopelessness and inevitability, deceiving us into believing that things will always be the way they are. The enemy wants to bring you and me into agreement with that infirmity, to bond with it, with the deficiency, so that our bodies begin to reject our spirits. Do you understand this? Okay, so let's say I have an issue with control, which I do. I'm a little obsessive about things, not a little, probably a lot. And this is something I've asked the Lord to put his finger on, and I've been going after for a long time. The Lord's been going after, we've been trying to go through together. In this place that I struggle with, I feel like I'm never getting out. It's never gonna happen. It feels like the most impossible thing for me, because I'm like, Lord, I'm doing everything you've called me to do, required me to do. I'm doing everything in the physical I can do. I'm doing everything in the spiritual I can do. I'm doing everything I can do. I'm never gonna get free of this. I'm gonna be like this till the day I die. My kids are gonna have trouble. I'm gonna be with psychologists one day because they're gonna blame their mother for something that went wrong, which is gonna probably happen anyway. But no, I'm kidding, it's not. It's not inevitable. I break those words in Jesus' name. No. And I'm a good mom, don't worry, but I'm just saying, for me, I want to be as free as I can be for my children. Not just for my children, for me and the people I'm ministering to, but my immediate area of ministry is my children and my family. And I have agreed many times with that inevitability and that word of the enemy that he's trying to speak over me. And my spirit has been rejected, and I've allowed it to be rejected, and I've stopped moving. It's very clever. Enemy's not foolish. He wants to take you out and away. God wants to birth the fire and ignition in us to light the world. And if we want that, we have to be submitted to Christ in the little things that he wants to deal with right now. We need to be refined. Can you just put on the instrumental right now? I just felt like the Lord, just a couple of minutes, I felt like the Lord might have wanted to give prophetic words to some of you, or I don't know. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. I kind of am just like, okay, Lord, do whatever you want to do. So, but I did feel like he wants me to just do it briefly for a few minutes. Johnny, kind of just give me the 5 minute when we get to that, or John, or whoever. John Squared, give me a little if we get to like 5 minutes or so. Make it like 6 minutes, sorry. 6 minutes, let's do 6 minutes.
Seven.
I'd be like, let's stay here for an hour, but I know it would go crazy, so let's do 6 minutes. Ooh, no, I'm kidding, relax. Okay, 6 minutes. All right, so please, everyone, close your eyes if you can, minus children. You're gonna have to probably keep your eyes half open. The Lord will still touch you or speak to you. I'm not gonna look at anybody, okay? Put your hands in a receiving position with your palms up. And calm your mind and your spirit. The Lord wants to speak to you. And he's going to speak to you whether I speak it, it comes through my mouth, or not. We worship you, Lord. You are faithful. You are holy. You are great. You are righteous. You are our King. You are our Father. You are our Lord. Lamb of God. Speak to your people, Lord. Wait expectantly for you, my Jesus. I feel like the Lord wants you to breathe in, everyone. Breathe in the presence, his presence right now. He wants to just fill you up. Breathe it in, deep breaths in and out. Breathe in again. Breathe it in. He loves you. He loves you. Lord desperately, desperately wants to know you. He is precious. He wants to know you. He wants to be in touch with you, to have a relationship with you. He loves you. He's so good. I feel like and anything I say you take to the Lord for yourselves, anyone, and you pray about it. But I feel like the Lord has another job for you. I don't know what that means. I wouldn't say leave what you currently have or anything like that, but I feel like he has something else for you even. Guest is, I don't know your name, but anyway, I feel like the Lord, he showed me kind of like a heart that was maybe like broken and kind of sewed together, and he's just making your heart beautiful and seamless. Christelle, I felt like the Lord is saying to you that he finds you so beautiful in your place, in your home. He sees you. He sees you. He's right above you, watching you cook. And a lot of the mundane things, I see the Lord standing over, like above, with a smile on his face. And it so touches his heart, your service to your family. He's really pleased. He's just so pleased with your service. He's blessed by it. It brings him such pleasure. You are glorifying him by doing that. He finds immense pleasure in the daily mundane that you are serving your family. He is proud of you, very, very proud. Dave, I felt like the Lord is saying, well done. That you have been standing for your family. And he has given you a backbone of steel. And that you're standing strong for the family, and the success of the family is your success. I see the Lord just caressing your cheek. And just, again, I think I said before, just such pleasure with you. Just really, like this big, I see the Lord's face like this big chubby cheeks, cheeky smile. And he's just delighted to just play with you, really. Just like laugh back and forth. It's not, like he's just in adoration of your personality, who you are. He really just wants to have fun with you. I just see him like being silly, dancing on the beach. Things you say or do, he's right there laughing like in a chair next to you while you're gardening and listening to your jokes. Like a really kind of a fun interaction. Loves your huge heart, and he wants to help you with everything, every moment in your life. He just wants to love you. He's never going to let you down. His heart is huge for you. You are created exactly the way he wanted you created. He knew you from inside your mom's womb. He knew you. He created you. He put you there. You have a place in this world because he brought you and breathed life into you. You are very important. Cindy, I feel like the Lord is going to bless your ministry to others over the years, that he hasn't forgotten your ministry and the ways in which you've blessed people in a variety of ways, verbally, cook-wise, ministry-wise, gift-wise, service-wise, all the things that you've served with. The Lord does not forget that. He has not forgotten that. And you will be blessed. Hester, I see you as a little boy. A little boy, like playing something, some kind of ball. I don't know if it's like a soccer ball or some kind of a kickball. I'm not really sure. I see you like being happy in this one scene. I'm seeing you happy as a child kicking some ball around. And the Lord was playing ball with you at that time. He was smiling and laughing at you, and you were extremely special to him. When you were young, I mean, you're still special, but I feel like the Lord was saying that you were this special, he had this little part in his heart for you and was playing ball with you and having a blast. Dad, you are like in a good way, I can't think of the better word for it, but like a firecracker, almost like I see a bomb with a hole in the earth that's exploded it. And that's what you've done with your life. You've come out and exploded grace and goodness and made all these choices that have affected people around the world. You have come out of what you were, what the enemy intended for you. You have come out of what the enemy intended for you. To be full of shame and rejection and a lack of love and a failure. And he has said, absolutely not. And you have, I just see this hole in the earth, almost like a meteor came and just like made this impactful hole and then explosions all around it. You have broken the bonds that were there and meant for you, and you have broken them for your family. You have broken them for the world around you. God is pleased. Keep going. He is pleased and he is proud of you. Bob. Lord. The Lord sees your hard work. He sees your consistent, daily hard work. Your consistency as a breadwinner of the family, that's what I'm getting, like a consistency in working to keep your family afloat. You're a good man. And Gail, I see you being very affectionate toward Bob in this scene. I'm seeing like you rub his cheek, and I think there's a new season for you and your, you know, together. I feel like I see this beauty unfolding. There's a new season of affection that's coming, and almost like romantic new love. That's kind of what I'm seeing. A really sweet, intimate, friendship loving bond. I see happiness being restored in areas where it was taken away, or where it has seemed to be taken away in the middle. Mom, I see your, it's almost like I want to say tentacles have stretched so wide across America, quite literally, across the world. There has been so many people that you have ministered to in one way or another, just by either being yourself or speaking to them or ministering to them or submitting when you didn't want to do something whatever that may be, it has worldwide ripple effects. It has affected the nation. You are an extremely important part of the body of Christ. It's far beyond what you understand, far, far beyond. Gabrielle, God has great things for you. Really great things. It's exciting, exciting, great things. You are going to blossom in the spirit, especially. I see this, oh, it's good. It's good, exciting, exciting things. Steve, I feel like the Lord says, stand tall. Stand tall. Mario. The Lord wants to give you really, 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 really huge glasses, massive, like that are bigger than your head, huge. I see him giving these massive, massive glasses to see far beyond what your human mind can see. There's a vision, a much, much bigger vision than you see. And I see him giving you these massive, massive glasses to see what that is. So if you just sit with the Lord every day and ask him for it, know that they are on you. The Lord has them on you, and he wants to show you huge. He wants to show you a big picture, the whole picture. He wants to show you. So you will have vision to lead your family in the way he sees. But it's way bigger. You got to let the human limitations out, but he wants you to see it. He's giving you that. He's equipped you with the tools you need to move forward in your life right now. And he's got these big goggles. He wants you to see it. Martha, there's a lion inside of you in a good way. It's saying, hear me roar. You are tremendously powerful. You don't have to worry about it. The Lord wants to do it for you. But I see, hear me roar when I see you. You just have to allow him to move through it, and he's going to help you understand it. He's going to help you move in it. He's going to help you see it. He's going to hold your hand through everything. But there is a mighty, roaring, and godly lion inside of you that will be effective to cut bonds off of people just by your words. Just keep seeking him. Keep seeking him. Lord Jesus, cover her, Lord, and let her see it. I'm not really sure what this means, but I see you sitting very gracefully, almost like a younger, like maybe like a little girl type version of yourself, like on the floor in like a little pond, not like a puddle, but like a little pond. But you're just kind of sitting there with your, like, Indian style crossed very gracefully, just sitting there looking at this little pond with a reflection in it. You're not looking at your own reflection. You're just sitting on the edge of this small pond. Jonathan, I feel like the Lord wants to take you further outside of yourself. There's another thing, another like level coming where you're going to take another step further outside of yourself. And I also feel for you is a specific job for you. An actual physical job. I'm not sure if it's one you have or one that's coming, or I have no idea, but I feel like it is a specific physical job for you. And that not to limit yourself right now, that he has another spiritual like step that he wants you to go. There's like a threshold. You're gonna go through another. This is not time to go again, move again forward. And I think it's very passive. It doesn't feel like you're scrambling through it or running through it. You just submit. It's gonna just keep your eyes open and keep on keeping on kind of a thing, but there's just another phase God's gonna bring you through. John Kreuzberg, I see the Lord put you together like a Lego person, like with tons of little pieces, intricate pieces. He very uniquely created you in a beautiful way to have very different giftings. And I see this beautiful creation, almost like, and I'm not talking about body, like being, you know, Lego pieces, like specific to make you who you were. The Lord put these specific giftings in you all throughout your life, and it was added another block, and added another block, and added another block. And all these giftings you flow, and He created you that way. This very colorful, talented, intelligent, well-gifted man that the Lord put together. He put you together that way. Victoria, I see you as a fire blowing through like the earth, like this rock, I don't even know what it is. It's this fireball that's just blowing through things. This is no stopping and contemplating. You're just moving, and the fire of God and the fire that's in you is just blowing through walls and holes and things that are, there is no boundary that's gonna keep you down. There's just no wall that's gonna stop there's no wall. You're like looks like a streaking fireball going across, and you're going to walk right through walls. It's not even going to be a problem. There's a gift you have to be able to walk through things that other people cannot and do it well and with very little problem. It'll be so natural, and it's a specific gift that the Lord wants you to use to be able to break down these, whatever these walls may be. I think they even might be larger than the walls you're even used to, even like politically almost as well, or maybe administrative. I'm not sure. It's a bigger picture than just, there's definitely spiritual in your life, but there's something even bigger that the Lord's going to allow you to just, you're just like this fireball that's just going through things, and it's just the way you flow, and the Lord says just flow with that. Just keep flowing with that. That's what I have for you. Jael and Daniel, I feel like the Lord says, keep becoming good friends. Keep becoming good friends. And Emma, she's here, but she is. Emma, Jesus wants you to dance. Dance for Him. Always dance for Him. He loves watching you twirl. And Anna, keep smiling. The Lord loves how big you smile. And how happy your heart is. He put that in you. Graciana, you are so important to Jesus. He's so proud of you. He made you very special. Lena, Jesus loves how much fun you like to have and how artistic you love to be. He wants to paint with you. And Hannah, though you be little, you are strong, mighty woman of God. thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. You are so holy. We worship you, Lord. As they go today, let them just take this with them, Lord, and carry your presence every day. Surround them and fill them. Help them to be in this place. Bring them back to this place every day. Give them supernatural grace and power and mercy that you have extended.